are listening to LSU Daily with Matt Moscona, your home for all the latest Tiger news. Part of the Guarantee Podcast Network.
Okay, let's get it. It is LSU Daily, Drop Biscuit Studios, a southern home for storytellers. I'm Matt Moscona. Happy New Year. Great to be back. Took some time off around the holidays, and an eventful time it was. LSU beats Purdue in the bowl game. LSU basketball gets a win over ninth-ranked Arkansas. What a time for Tiger fans and for sports in general. We're going to talk about the game here to begin, but I also want to delve into Brian Kelly's comments about the lack of a quarterback controversy after we saw all three quarterbacks play in the bowl game on Monday. LSU beats Purdue 63-7. Say that out loud. LSU beats Purdue 63-7. I mean, y'all, we all knew that this was kind of the role reversal of a year ago when LSU had all the opt-outs. They were decimated and they played Kansas State and got run in a game that probably shouldn't have been played. This wasn't as egregious from the Purdue side as it was from the LSU side a year ago. But I didn't see 63-7. But y'all, that is exactly, that game was exactly the no stress, start to finish behind whipping that we all needed from this team to end the season on a high note and to purge the disappointment of the A&M loss and the Georgia loss at the end of the regular season in the SEC championship game. It was a lot of fun to watch LSU empty the bag, get really creative on offense, to see Brian Kelly high-fiving the Cheez-It man and eating Cheez-Its off the ground. I think it was Joe Fouché who did a snow angel in the Cheez-Its face down, which was weird, but still celebratory. And it was just a fun day all the way around. It's fun to watch. Y'all have seen the superlatives. Most points ever scored in a Citrus Bowl, 63. Most yards in a Citrus Bowl, 594. Largest margin of victory for LSU in any bowl game, 56. I mean, LSU beat Purdue worse than LSU beat Oklahoma in that Peach Bowl 3 years ago. It was staggering. And you did it, by the way, without Kayshon Booty, without Jarray Jenkins, without Jack Besh, without Josh Williams, without Ollie Gay, without Jaquelin Roy, without Mekhi Gardner, without B.J. Ojulari. It wasn't like you were whole for this game, and you still went out there and did what you did. So, I mean, Purdue not having their quarterback, receiver, tight end had nothing to do with LSU hanging a 60-burger on them. Let's get very clear about that. LSU was ready. They played awesome, and that was great to see. After the game, here's what Brian Kelly had to say about his team's really one-sided win, dominating win over Purdue.
We played really well. Our guys executed at a high level. They competed at a high level. We were not at full strength, but that didn't stop our guys from putting in the time and the effort. Congratulations to Purdue. They were in a very difficult situation as well, but you know, our guys handled it well today and played at a high level.
Couple of observations from the game. Let me just start with the quarterbacks, right? I mean, we got to see all three of them, which was really cool. Jaden Daniels started the game and played exceptionally well. LSU scored on its second possession. Nussmeier came in, led LSU to a scoring drive. So they basically went 2-1, 2-1. Jaden got the first possession of third quarter where he caught a touchdown pass. LSU was up 42-0. Nuss played the rest of the third. Then Walker played the fourth, which was great to see. Garrett Nussmeier did a lot of really good things as well. You could see the spark. You could see the arm strength. All the things that people like about him a lot as a prospect, he delivered as well. He did throw the interception in the end zone, which we'll talk about. But if you're Garrett Nussmeier, that's the thing he's got to work on. We all know it. You've got to purge those turnovers out of your game. And he hasn't done it yet, but the things he did well, he did really well. And it was nice to see Walker Howard get in there, had a really nice run, set up a scoring drive late that we saw with Derek Davis get the touchdown run. So all three quarterbacks that you got to play. And Brian Kelly, after the game, mentioned that he does. Can you play 12, please? This is Brian Kelly said, like, because that's been the big question. Are any of these guys going to leave? Brian Kelly said, at least not imminently.
I absolutely 100% believe that all three quarterbacks are going to be with us. And all of them we've had conversations with and feel that that's the direction we're going.
Okay. So does that mean we'll be with you in spring? We'll be with you beyond spring? We'll be with you in the fall? It all remains to be seen. We know the current culture of college football, especially at the quarterback position. Guys don't stay. Guys don't wait. Is it different here? We will wait and see. But Brian Kelly, you clearly have done your due diligence. You've talked to these guys. You know what needs you have and what you may need, and they'll address it from there as needed. But fully expecting to have all three guys with them in the spring. Malik Nabers is clearly ready to be a star. And I want to point this out. Yes, the stat line is great. 9 receptions, 163 yards and a touchdown. He was 2 of 2 passing for 50 yards, including the touchdown pass to Jaden Daniels. But remember, no Kayshon Booty, no Jure Jenkins, which meant you had fewer weapons on the field, fewer known weapons on the field that teams had to account for. So in theory, it would have been easier for Purdue to say, look, we're not going to rotate coverage to Kayshon, you know, obviously because he went out there. So you could say, we're going to double Malik. We're going to give more attention there. Didn't matter. He was awesome. And shows he is ready to be a number one. He is ready to be a star. And next year, I would fully anticipate, you know, at this point, we're talking about Malik Nabers as a high draft pick and a guy that's going to be headed off to the NFL after his junior year at LSU. The other thing specifically with the game, and look, when you win 63-7, there are a lot of angles you can go because there's a lot of good when you win a game like that. There weren't any very notable special teams mishaps.
Yay.
I mean, Gregory Clayton even caught a punt when he got annihilated while catching it. I mean, we're talking progress here, y'all. It was good. But how about the defensive line? Let's give some credit there. That has been, by far, the thinnest position on this team all year. They rotated really 3 defensive tackles all year. And in this game, you had no Ollie Gay, you had no B.J. Ojulari, and no Jaquelin Roy. So at the spot where you were already thinnest, you had to go into this game down 3 starters. And so you saw Mekhi Wingo and Jacoby and Guillory play a ton. You saw Savion Jones start at that left end. Mike Jones moved up and played the Jack linebacker. We saw a lot of Xavier Carter there. And I don't know if you noticed, but at one point in the second half, your defensive line had Quincy Wiggins, Ty G. Hill, and Fitzgerald West. You had 3 freshmen on your defensive line in the second half. And not only did those guys play, but there was no notable drop-off. That game for LSU, yes, the offense was awesome. They put up nearly 600 yards and 63 points. But the defense forced 3 turnovers and almost got a 4th when Harold Perkins forced a fumble and limited Purdue to 94 rushing yards on 36 attempts. Came up with 4 sacks, 7 tackles for loss. LSU dominated the line of scrimmage. That wasn't lacking Aiden O'Connell and Charlie Jones. That had nothing to do with their tight end not being there. LSU just whipped Purdue at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And that was cool to see. Big shout out Micah Baskerville as well. One of the things that caught my eye, and this has been true for his whole time at LSU, even in the fourth quarter when LSU was up 7 touchdowns, Baskerville still running sideline to sideline making plays. So credit to that guy who at any point could have said, you know what, I'm going to tap out, I'm going to opt out. Came back this year, played the full season, became another year as a key contributor on this defense, and even to the very end was making plays. So a great, great day for LSU. Now we watch draft decisions. Mike Jones announced that he's not going to come back for a super senior season. He's going to go off to the pros. We're awaiting word on John Emery. I'm told that the staff is anticipating John Emery is going to declare. Guys could always change their mind, but I think they're expecting John Emery's going to go pro. And then you look toward the February signing day. High schools, portal additions, who else might leave your program? Derek Davis has an interesting decision now to make, who entered the portal when the waiver came that he could play and retain that year, came back, played in this game. Now maybe the door is open for him to return if he wants to, or does he leave? We'll see. But what a way to punctuate the season for LSU with the feel-good in the belly that a lot of us really needed after the A&M and Georgia losses And LSU was able to really churn on offense like they had done for a chunk of October and in the Alabama game that we saw wane late through November and into December. So LSU wins the Citrus Bowl 63-7. Brian Kelly becomes just the third coach in LSU history to win double-digit games in year one, joining Mike Archer and Les Miles, and now Brian Kelly on that list as well. Look toward 23, where LSU could well be the SEC West favorite going into the season.
Okay, well, step aside here very quickly, and we'll come back, revisit what we talked about with quarterbacks. And Brian, we'll let you hear Brian Kelly's comments again about the lack of a quarterback controversy, and we'll give you some thoughts on that position into spring and beyond right here on LSU Daily.
What was interesting, we learned after the game, is that one of the things LSU wanted to do was play two quarterbacks. And Jaden Daniels got the start. And Brian Kelly, after the game, made it clear that the plan was that they were going to play Garrett Nussmeier in the third series. Now, after that, how it would go, don't know. But here was what Brian Kelly said about Garrett Nussmeier's performance.
Yeah, I thought he did well. I mean, and we made it clear he was going to go in the third series. And I didn't know what was going to happen after that. But just made it clear to him, go in, do your job. You got a job to do, get it done, and then we'll roll after that and see how it goes. And obviously he played a lot more. Way the game was kind of trending, he got even more playing time.
So when you look at Garrett's stat line, 11 of 15 for 173, two touchdowns and a pick, it is worth noting, and you kind of have to put the little asterisk, because 75 yards of it came on the jet sweep to Malik Nabers, which was not a pass, but it was because it was a shovel forward. It counts as passing yardage. So you have to look at his day sort of sans that. But he was very good. Went in the third series, and boy, did they churn. Noah Cain, 14-yard run, immediately took a deep shot to Malik Nabers, which was incomplete, that Malik honestly could have caught. Maybe when Malik said after the game he was focused on his three drops, that was one of them. The first ball from Nuss was one Malik could have caught, might have scored. Ran it with Noah Cain. They had a 3rd and 8. Malik for 14 yards, which was a beautiful pass by Garrett Nussmeier on a rope. 6-yard pass to Brian Thomas. Another deep incompletion. 3rd and 4. The 17-yarder to Mason Taylor over the middle. Another dart that he threw. And then they got down near the goal line, and Noah Cain scored on the touchdown run. So Nussmeier was efficient on that drive. He came back in on the final drive of the first half, and that's where he threw the touchdown pass to Brian Thomas to go up 35-0. That was the Nabers to Lacey 45-yarder, but you know was efficient, sharp, looked good throwing the football. You saw all the things from Garrett Nussmeier that has people excited about it. The arm strength, the tempo, the energy, all of it. It was there. So too was the interception in the end zone. And the thing about Garrett Nussmeier that we've talked about is, and everyone says it, the gunslinger mentality and all that, and that's fine. And you want aggressive. What you can't have is careless or aggressive that hurts you. And if you're going to have the conversation about Garrett and you're going to point out all the things you like, you have to also have the conversation about the thing primarily, singular, that is his gigantic Achilles heel right now, which is his inability to protect the football. He had 2 awful interceptions against Southern, even the second half against Georgia. Slinging the ball around, looking really good. He also made a terrible throw into double coverage, which was intercepted. And you don't pay attention to it because you're down 4 touchdowns. Like, no one's going to point out the interception in the end zone against Purdue because you're beating the crap out of Purdue. But what if you're in a close game and you make that play? And those are the things that have followed him. And it's fair to mention both. And that's what he's got to have coached out of him. For Jaden Daniels, 12 of 17 for 139. He ran it 6 times for 67 yards, a long of 37. Jaden did what Jaden does. He protected the football. He took his checkdowns when they were there. He pushed the ball downfield when he needed to. Even caught a touchdown pass. So a very productive day for both of LSU's quarterbacks as they played. Now, one of the things that we were talking about, and yes, listen, along with Garrett, if you're going to say credit the good stuff, do it, but also point out the bad, I would say the same with Jaden. You point out the things that he does very well and the things and areas where he needs to grow. Could he be more aggressive? Yes, there is that balance that both of these guys have to do, where Garrett needs to not be careless and you need Jaden to be more aggressive. Both of those things are realities surrounding the two players, which are both very good football players. But after the game, Brian Kelly made it pretty clear that he does not see this as a quarterback controversy. But the end of this answer is the thing that's going to generate a lot of conversation.
There's no quarterback controversy. You know, Jalen is our number one quarterback. Garrett will get an opportunity to compete, though. And look, the most important thing is when you have two really good quarterbacks, you have to have an open mind. You can't be closed-minded when you're looking at two, you know, elite quarterbacks. So what we've committed to is an open mind and an open process where you can go in and, you know, we're going to give you an opportunity to continue to grow. And then, you know, that's going to allow both of our quarterbacks and Walker to continue to grow as quarterbacks at LSU.
I'm going to come back to something Brian Kelly said there in a second. But first, Brian Kelly was also asked if he believed all three guys were going to be here in the spring.
I absolutely 100% believe that all three quarterbacks are going to be with us. And all of them we've had conversations with and feel that that's the direction we're going.
Okay. The fact that all three of these guys, again, the coaching staff has had the conversation with the players, expects all of them to be back for spring football. Now, do they all make it to fall? We'll see. But the fact that all three of them, and in particular, we're talking about Nussmeier and Walker Howard, because Jaden is your incumbent. He's announced he's coming back, and he's the starter. The head coach just said it there. Jaden Daniels is your starter. There's no quarterback controversy. The fact that the other two guys are coming back, or let me rephrase, the fact that the other two guys have not entered the portal yet, I think is indicative of the fact that they don't want to leave. Both Garrett Nussmeier and Walker Howard want to be at LSU, which is a great launching point. Okay, it's a great jumping off point for the conversation, because if those guys are willing to be here and compete and stick it out, great. You need that to begin with, because in many instances, what you would have seen is, for especially Garrett Nussmeier now, who's going to be going into year three with an incumbent ahead of him, he's going to go somewhere else. And if he were going to go somewhere else, he would have already made that decision. I'm not saying he won't, but they're expecting him to be here in the spring. Now, how do you handle that? Now, this is the reality around a quarterback situation where you try to play multiple guys, where you try to appease a lot of guys. It's toxic. The fact that LSU just won a game 63-7, and we're sitting here today having a conversation about who the starting quarterback is going to be, can you appease these guys? You are deflecting from the way the conversation should be about building and growing this team toward being a championship team next year and into the future. Look at every time, I mean, you don't need me to spell this out, but every time there have been multiple quarterbacks or a two quarterback system or anything like that, it's a toxic conversation. Clemson just went through it with DJU and Cade Klubnik. LSU went through it back with Jefferson and Lee in 2011. Jefferson was suspended. Lee had the great start of the season. Jefferson came back, kind of took the reins. It was toxic. The team kept winning, but the conversation never went away about who should be playing. So Brian Kelly has a delicate tightrope to walk, because he's got several, like there's several doors, right? And behind door one, he's got Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier and Walker Howard and Ricky Collins, and that's awesome. And in door two, he's got Jaden Daniels and maybe Nussmeier leaves, and it's two young guys that have no experience behind your veteran. And behind door three, you've got Jaden Daniels, and maybe both guys leave. And then it's Jaden and Ricky Collins. And y'all, that's basically what happened at LSU in 2018, remember? They brought in Joe Burrow, they went into fall camp. Both Lowell Narcisse and Justin McMillan left, and you were left with Joe Burrow, who had never started, and sophomore Miles Brennan. That was it. And we later learned Brennan was hurt, so Burrow was all you had. Now, it worked out, but that's not where you want your program to be. And so Brian Kelly and his staff realize right now that any of these situations are possible, that they could return all three guys, that one or two could leave, or one could leave, or both could leave. And not knowing that answer makes it very challenging to build this room, because what you cannot do if you are Brian Kelly, Mike Denbrock, and the staff is go into 2023 with only Jaden Daniels, who is a running quarterback and who we saw this year take shots and have an ankle injury and you had to go to your backup, and a true freshman. You can't allow that to happen. So whatever the reality may be, they've just got to acknowledge it, accept it, address it, and then move into the season knowing that. I know there's a lot of people who want Garrett Nussmeier to be the quarterback. And you know how I feel about that. I think Garrett has the potential to be a great player. He's also got little experience and has shown the propensity to make mistakes that kill you. But regardless of how you feel about Nussmeier versus Daniels, the thing where we should all be unified in understanding is you cannot go into next year with only Jaden Daniels. So if it's after spring, if it's before, whatever it is. Now, Brian Kelly's telling you he fully expects all three of these guys to be here in the spring. Okay. They've had the conversations. Great. But coming out of spring, and there's going to be a portal window that opens up after that, you have got to know where these guys stand, and the guys have to know. Because if you try to appease everybody, and you go into the fall, and at some point in fall camp, you pare down reps, and you know who the starter is, and you have a similar situation like you did in 2018, now you're stuck. And that is a horrible situation potentially to be in. So I'm not sitting here telling you have all the answers, because I don't. I'm not scouting the transfer portal every day. I'm not looking at who's out there among the high school ranks. That's why you have a coaching staff and a sports staff and guys that and gals who help build the roster and manage the roster and do all that stuff. But Brian Kelly tells you there's no quarterback controversy. Jaden Daniels is your starter. But they're going to let the other guys continue to compete. That can't bleed into the season. And if you get to the season and you're in a situation where one or both of those guys leaves, you're stuck. You can't get to that point. So whatever hard conversations Brian Kelly had with all three quarterbacks after the regular season to know where they stand, you're going to have to revisit that after spring as well. Because if one of those guys leaves, I'm going to say this again, I will continue to say this, if one or both of Walker Howard, Jaden Daniels leaves, or Garrett Nussmeier leaves, if one or both of Garrett Nussmeier, Walker Howard leaves, you have got to replace him with a transfer. You've got to make sure that position group stays fortified. And there are so many quarterbacks, so many players, especially quarterbacks in college football, around college football, in the transfer portal, who jump looking for new opportunities. You got to make sure you have depth. It is never, ever a bad thing to have experienced depth at the most important position in team sports. That conversation ain't going nowhere, y'all. You know it well.
Okay, that's going to do it for us here on a Wednesday edition of LSU Daily. Our first, as we're back here from a long holiday week off, and we appreciate you for being with us. If you're new and haven't done so yet, I was actually at a wedding on Saturday, on New Year's Eve, and a guy knew me from a former LSU podcast that I did. I said, hey, I'm still doing essentially the same format, but it's called LSU Daily. So subscribe. He did. And if he's watching, shout out, or listening, shout out, appreciate you for being here. But subscribe up to the pod, rate us, leave a review on your favorite podcast app, and let a friend know if they love the Tigers, we got you with daily LSU content right here for right about 30 minutes or less on LSU Daily from Drop Biscuit Studios.